This is Jack Donahue. I'm with Will Ravinas today. Will is a person of renown in this area as an author, a speaker at various events, a tour guide, and, as I say, an author of several historic books on the area. Today, Will's going to talk about the New Hope Automobile Show. And, Will, if you could begin by describing what this show is and how it got started.
Okay, today is the year 2014, and we're going back to the year 1958, which is a mere 56 years ago. And at that time, there was no car show, but there was something called the New Hope Solbury Community Association. It's still in business, I believe, but it was very active at that time. And one of the interesting things they did was build the gymnasium for the high school. At that time, in 58, there was no gymnasium, but there was a high school, and the high school said, oh goodness, we can't afford to build a gymnasium. So the community association said, we'll front the money, we'll borrow it at the bank, we'll rent the building to the high school for 10 or 15 years, and they will pay rent, and ultimately they paid off the gymnasium. So it's a wonderful example of a community association actually doing some good and fronting the money for a construction project. At that time, the community association had a horse show, and it was a very good horse show. It drew a lot of horses and a lot of classes and a lot of activity. And it ran for about 5 years, I believe. I was reined in to help work on the show. I was in charge of raising the rails on the jumps when the horses knocked them down. And so all day long I stood there and put rails back on fences. It was a brilliant job, of course.
Were you a young boy at this time, or
I was around 25, 28.
Okay, so you had other things going on, but you were doing this.
Oh yeah,
volunteer.
But I had just moved to the area in 53 and bought my farm, so I was interested in becoming active in all the activities around here. The horse show was the first week in August. And it had gained significant fame. It had been a C-level show, and the year that I worked on it, it became a B-level show, and they were all terribly proud and thought this was really quite wonderful. A shows would be Devon or Madison Square Garden. So they're up there as a major horse show in America. But there was one problem that I recognized at the time, and that was that there were more horses entered in the show than there was audience out there watching them. That after you discount the riders and the grooms and the truck drivers, etc., there really wasn't anybody from the community coming to see a horse show. And they had classes like Green Working Hunter, which is wonderful if you know horses. But for the average public, they've never seen a green horse, and a working horse plows the fields, and we don't have very much fox hunting around here anymore. So I came to the conclusion that this was not really a winner for the community, much less raising any money at the gate. So with a couple of buddies, I said, let's consider a car show, an automobile show. Same grounds at the high school, but all kinds of automobiles. Antique, classic, historic, trucks, any kind of vehicle.
Anything that might be interesting.
Well, in the automotive world.
In the automotive world.
And the issue is to remember is, of course, we're only 20 years out of the Depression. And we have not yet come, we've just come through World War II. So it was a different world. There were different interests.
It was a car-loving world, though. I remember that.
It was. And my buddy, my initial buddy, was Charles Renfrew, Chuck Renfrew, who has been around here, but I don't think is anymore. Also, my brother-in-law, John Layden, who lived in Lahaska, and he was at that time a commander in the Navy and living on Street Road. There was Pat Livesey, who is no longer with us, but there's Pat Livesey Park, just this side of New Hope.
Yep.
And she was very active in the administrative end of it. We also had participation from the Buckingham Sports Car Club. I forget the man who was heading it at the time, but they were very active, sports car lovers and drivers. So they were the backbone of the people that I worked with. My contribution primarily was the organizational end and involving other organizations. My thought was that if it was just the CA, a community association, we probably wouldn't be able to mount it for a new adventure. But if we lined up everybody else in the country, it might work. So we got the firemen to help set up the grounds, set up the snow fencing to keep out and let in people. We got the fire police, who are really retired policemen who attend each fire and control the traffic on the roads. But we had began to have, and have ever since had, a major problem with traffic coming in and out of the car show on what was then 202. We farmed out the food service to the Boy Scouts, and that was a smart move because they've been doing it ever since, and of course, they make a little money in the process.
Yes.
Then I thought, how can we publicize, make a noise, attract people's attention to the car show, particularly as they drive by on 202 down into New Hope.
That's when 202 went right through New Hope.
When 202 was right in town. And I talked to Jimmy Hamilton. Okay, Jimmy Hamilton is since famous for running restaurants around here. But at the time, he was the set director in residence for the Playhouse in the Park in Philadelphia. So I went to him and I said, what can we do, with no money, of course, but we have to attract people's attention outside the grounds of the car show.
And this car show was going to be held in the new gymnasium?
Out in the fields.
Out in the fields, okay.
All the land that is now football field.
Right.
And at that time, the school did not own the roads property in back. So it was really pretty much the front field next to the school and a big piece of what is now a parking lot.
The part that fronts right on the road there, right onto the old 202.
But my problem was, how can we attract enough attention? And Jimmy Hamilton came up with a brilliant solution. He said, first we go to all the rug dealers, Barb Lynn and Doylestown and any other rug dealers around, and we asked them for the bamboo poles around which rug stock is shipped. And so we got a lot of bamboo poles. Then he said, now you'd get streamer material, maybe 5 feet long, and maybe 1 foot high, and tie that on to the poles, and then tie the poles to the snow fencing. And it turned out to be absolutely brilliant. It created a great sensation along 202 and brought in a lot of people. Ultimately, for that first show, we probably had about 200 cars and 2,000 visitors, which of course is multiples past what we would have had for a horse show. So it turned out to be a success. It's hard to mention people who entered their cars, but one of them is more interesting. Was a guy named Jimmy Staats, S-T-A-A-T-S, from Lambertville. And he had a shop up North Union, just off North Union. It's now Hood Floors. But Jimmy Staats was a creator and restorer of rolled dash Oldsmobiles of 1903 and 1904. They're little open coupe kinds of cars. Absolutely fascinating. He was an older man, of course, at the time, but he remembered when Oldsmobiles were first created, and he had a shop to repair or rebuild or maintain the rolled dash Olds of 1903 and 4. Fascinating. And he appeared at all the shows. What we did was try to sign up the clubs so that we had action beyond just putting a notice in the local paper. So the first one we contacted, which was very strong then and is still very strong, is the Model A Ford Club of America. And they were, even at that time, very well organized. So that when they arrived, they came with their own judges, they came with their own prizes, or we supplemented the prizes, but they walked in and knew exactly what to do and how to do it and how to create a ring and how to organize.
They had experience in auto shows.
Lots of experience. Yeah. So they were the primary and still are. It's interesting that automobiles in America were created, including Trenton, New Jersey, the Mercer. There were 2,000 marks, as they're called, 2,000 different types of car in America built.
2,000 brands? Brands of...
Buick, Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
Ford.
That's an interesting family tree if you look at where they ended up and are today.
Well,
those that are still...
Most of them are just names in a book.
Yeah.
But we were able to draw a lot of early cars because there are collectors around this side of Philadelphia who welcomed the idea of a new show. So the primary goal was to set out cars in rows on the field and then let people go around and see them. Subsequently, there would be judges who would rate this one as really a perfect restoration and this one not quite so good because you have new hubcaps or new fins on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the people take it very seriously, and I will say by 2014, they're down to checking the nuts and bolts on the back of the car.
Now, there are a lot of people around here who have old cars, restored cars in barns. And most of us don't even know about it, but we run into one every once in a while. Was that the case then? Probably not so much, huh?
Yes, there were cars around.
So you could pull on local
if they
stock.
Chose to attend.
Yeah. But you would invite them to attend, I guess.
There was enough action in the Philadelphia to New York area, enough cars around.
Yeah.
And certainly for the first year, we were lucky to get cars in. The second, third, fourth years, they then became very popular. And the show got a name for itself. It seemed to be well run. It seemed to have prizes for all the people who thought they deserved prizes. And it had a big audience, a big crowd. And it became a big attraction for New Hope.
Almost overnight, I guess, with 2,000 people the first year.
Seemingly, yeah. It really was an extraordinary success. But we also had we took in trucks, which was novel in the car show business. And then in the middle of the show one day, the motorcycles rolled in. And they said, "We want to be in there, too. I mean, after all, we have big iron." And so some of the other people who were then managing the show said, no, they're really not automobiles. And my attitude was, well, heavens yes, let them in for two reasons. Number one, we may get a class and it may be interesting. And number two, by turning them away, they're going to be enemies and they're going to do us some damage. So the last thing we need is trouble in the neighborhood with motorcycles. So we let the motorcycles in. There are many, many different groups. There was an Edsel group that came 1 year. And they had like 4 or 5 cars. But you know, they were very proud of owning the only Edsels in America.
You don't need more than 4 or 5 Edsels, I guess.
Probably not. But there's a Chevy club, and there are later Ford clubs. And there was the Rolls-Royce Owners Club that came 1 year. All of them have annual gatherings, and maybe this year they come to New Hope, and another year they go to Mukunji, which is a very large show, and then maybe they go to Lancaster, and they wander around. So the clubs like a venue where they will be given special attention.
So there isn't any one type of car that dominates the show most or every year, certain types of MGs or Austin Healey's or something like that. These things alter,
and they will come that year, and there will be a significant number of them. But by now there are 200 or 300 cars, so they will represent maybe up to 50. Depends on a lot of variables, including what the club is able to do. But at least we try to host them and bring in as 2 or 3 clubs per year, because it brings a lot of extra interest in.
Yes.
We did some, and of course we have new car dealers. And so there are booths, if you will, enclosures around the fence wall for Thompson Toyota and Canaan.
Okay.
And the you know, people are interested in cars. They must get a certain number of leads because they always come back. And so,
well, with 200 or 300 cars and booths for some of these people with dealerships, how much space is used by the show today? It must have spread out quite a bit from where it started in terms of the playing fields and the.
I don't know the acreage, because when we started, we had only the front field of the high school and what is now parking lot for the students. As time's gone by, the school has acquired the Rhodes property, R-H-O-A-D-S, and that's really the land behind there, going down toward the river.
Yes.
It's now the school bus parking and the employee parking. You can approach it from two extensions.
So a lot of that is used for car show today.
Right. But the ultimate reality is, at this point, 56 years later, we've outgrown the space, and there's no easy solution. There was the wonderful year that we said, okay, we're growing too much, we need more space, and we got permission to go to Del Valle College. And the football coaches went absolutely berserk, because those cars, those filthy cars, dropped grease and oil on the football field just before all our players came out for exercise. So Del Valle said, never again. We'll never let you back.
So you're one and done at Del Valle College.
They came back to New Hope. And really, there's no easy answer. Maybe Tinicum Park, but the tradition is New Hope. And you've got all the restaurants, you've got all the hotels, you've got all the stores. So there's a great attachment to the New Hope location.
So you just have to control the size of the show then, I guess, and
it's somebody else's game at this point.
Right.
You're 56 years, I don't do it anymore.
So you're a spectator at the show.
I'm a spectator.
Okay.
We did at least 3 things that I don't think are done anymore for good and valid reasons. The first one was a mileage rally, and the issue was that you brought your car in, they disconnected your carburetor, they mounted a special gallon jug of gasoline and then sent you on your way on a prescribed route. And the game was to use the least amount of fuel to cover the territory involved. Nowadays, there's too much traffic. It's too complicated to do. But at that time, if you drove too fast, you used too much gas.
Uh-huh. Right.
If you drove too slow, then you didn't come in under the time limit, and so you were disqualified. So there was it was an interesting challenge, and when you came back, the gallon jug was then measured as to how much gasoline you had used.
Well, kind of a different take on a road rally.
It was its own game, and it was particularly suited for MGs and Triumphs and Roadsters. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's
and
a great idea.
Popular. The other was a traditional road rally, where you have clues. Go to the Elephant, which is a town up above Doylestown, and then go to this and go to that. And again, it was timed so that there was an optimal time that you should complete the rally. But if you were too slow or too fast, why, you got penalized. So that was effective. Then for a couple of years, we had a girly show. We had Miss Newhope elected. I'm not sure that was really a tremendous attraction, but it always gets a lot of attention. And X number of girls are going to compete, and Y number of guys are going to stand there and dream.
How many days
did
this event take? We had all these things.
Saturday and Sunday. One of the most interesting characters that was involved with the show was Roger Conduit, C-O-N-D-U-I-T. Roger was a radio announcer in Doylestown, and that was his primary duty. He needed a job where he could sit down because he was about 300 pounds. But Roger had an encyclopedic knowledge of automobiles, and he could tell you the measurement of the cylinders on a hubmobile from 1920. He was extraordinary, and he also had the unique ability to keep talking. And he would start at maybe 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and he'd still be going at 6 o'clock at night. With the inclusion of the actual judging and the parade of judges that came, judged cars.
An old-time radio guy.
But he just could rattle on and had stories and so forth.
Yeah.
And one year he brought in his professional buddy, Gene Shepard. Gene Shepard was the night man from New York. Radio, WABC.
WOR, ABC, one of those, yeah.
One of them.
Yeah.
But Gene was on every night from about midnight to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. He had a full staggering workload of hours that he rattled on the radio. Now, this was the day of radios before television, and so people who were up at those hours listened to radio.
Yes.
And Gene had a line of stories and activities that were fascinating. Of course, the reality is that he came to work at 10 o'clock in the morning at the radio station. They turned all the clocks back. They put him on an inside room, and he rattled away and did his show from maybe 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning to 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then he went home and lived a normal life. But people heard him in the middle of the night. And there are wonderful stories about the lonely women of New York who would call into WABC and say, would you give Gene a message? Would you tell him all is forgiven and he can come home? And this is Louise and he'll remember me.
Yeah.
And this particularly happened on the nights of the full moon.
Wow.
He said that the station had to take on extra operators during the night to cope with the nut calls that came in, because everybody thought Gene was just a personal friend.
Did Gene talk on and on at the car show also?
On and on at the car show, and he was also a car buff. And so he knew a lot and was a unique personality attending the show. It was really great. And we got amazing coverage, a lot of newspaper coverage all around the country, because it was a good show and it was seemingly well run. And there were interesting other people attending, including the car owners.
Yes.
Have to tell you about my one major failure, maybe not failure, but a problem at the show. I had decided that the people who came to the show, both the entrants and the public, ought to have something entertaining in the evening, that we ought to have something going on. And I knew that Paul Whiteman lived in the area. Pops Whiteman was the king of jazz, the most popular orchestra leader in America in the 20s and 30s. By the 40s, he had retired to a farm just above Stockton, New Jersey. And so I got on my little horse and went over there and talked to him and said, gee, would you help us out in this new fundraising program for the community association? Is there any way you could put together an orchestra and play your music again? And he was delighted with the idea. It was at least 10 years since his last regular performances, and so he was in retirement, as were all his players. And so he called up his boys, and they said, sure, Pops, we'll come back for a one-night gig. And they came back. And then I attended the picnic dinner before they went on. And they all said, you remember that night in Milwaukee when we were snowed in and the bus broke down and we didn't have any money and we couldn't get out of town and so forth and so on? And they told all these intriguing roadshow tales. But then I looked in the parking lot and they had Jaguars and BMWs and Mercedes. They had clearly made money out of the musical business, and they were coming back just to reminisce and remember the great days of the past. So they did go on stage at the gymnasium, and we suddenly realized there were two problems. The first problem was that those people who had been out on the grounds all day in the heat and the sun had no energy to go to a concert in the evening. So they were gone. Some of the locals appeared, and even they didn't last very long because the temperatures were in the 90s in the gymnasium. And so while the music was absolutely extraordinary, the heat was utterly intimidating, and it was too much for the musicians, it was too much for the audience. We finished the concert, but we never did another concert.
So that was it for So the crowd wasn't as big as you would have hoped it would have been?
True.
Yeah.
And the idea of having Pops Whiteman play in New Hope, Pennsylvania, it's was utterly staggering.
It's a big deal.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's like having Lady Gaga come around now. She would overwhelm any facility.
Yeah.
So Pops was great. He ultimately moved from New Jersey to Upper York Road, where in due course he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived in the neighborhood and was great. I had cars. I had at least two cars that I entered in the show in the next couple of years. One was a Rolls-Royce with a town car, 1936, absolutely magnificent. And another was an MGTD, which I kept until my kids decided that they wanted to drive it. And both cars eventually got sold.
MGTD, so that's the old boxy MG.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nice.
They were, of course, built by Morris Garage in England, and were not very popular with the English. But during World War II, the American aviators came over, settled in England, and fell in love with them.
Yep.
And they began to have races and road rallies. And it was the Americans who made the MGTD popular.
Really?
There were others. There was the TC, which was kind of clunky. And then they went into MGAs.
A's and B's, yeah.
And they never achieved the ultimate popularity of the square TD.
Hmm.
So I enjoyed it for 15, 20 years. And then.
So you had two cars in the show over these years?
I had other cars, but those two were fit to show in public.
Nice.
And of course, the Rolls got a prize just because I was involved with the show. I was involved with the show for about 15 years. First organizing it, and then at the front gate. And I could say, gee, Jack, saw you last year. You had the old Chevy last year. How you doing? What you got this year?
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of friendly reception was, of course, a big deal.
Did the original group that sponsored the show evolve into a nonprofit organization that just sponsors this car show every year, or is it who's it sponsored by now?
The community association still exists.
It still exists.
It runs the car show, and I'm not sure that it runs much more. What it does do is generate enough funds to pay for scholarships from the high school. So about once a year, I see something that some kids have gotten $1,000.
So the students of the high school who qualify for this, they're the main beneficiaries of this.
As far as I know,
events today.
As far as I know,
okay.
The community association is not majorly active in other activities. I mean, you have the library, you have the Friends of the Canal, you have Audubon.
Well, a thing like this is a year-round effort to plan and to organize anyway, I imagine.
Right.
So it's a lot of work by a lot of people still.
There's still a lot of publicity, and then, of course, a lot of activity at the time of mounting the show, putting up the fencing, putting up the stands, getting prizes, and then taking entries and judging entries. So,
sure.
Yes, it is.
A lot of work.
It ends up being a reasonably big deal. As I said, we outgrew the grounds at the high school, and one year we went to Doylestown to Del Valle, which had seemingly more space and maybe just as good a location, until we ran into the football coaches,
right.
who then lost their minds because all those cars had grease and oil dripping on their football field.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, this year maybe, but never ever again.
So I guess it'll stay in New Hope then. That's the identity of the show.
There's no easy new location for it.
Right, right.
And
its identity is New Hope, so.
True.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it as such the first weekend in August each year. One year was kind of fun. I got a lead from somebody at Princeton for a steam calliope. And I thought, if it's ever anything that's going to attract attention, it's going to be a steam calliope. So in due course, we made arrangements for this tractor trailer to pull in to the show. And on Saturdays, it started in the mid-morning. On Sunday, of course, it could only start after noon, after church services. But it was operated by a little old lady with a bonnet and a calico dress and sneakers. And she played the calliope. It doesn't have a keyboard. it has, in effect, broomsticks that stick out to you, equivalent to the keys. And so she would use her fist to pound a key.
Oh,
and
you
that
found
would
release it.
The steam through that pipe.
So you see, you're opening up a valve or something, and up goes the steam.
Exactly. So it takes a little energy. It's not just playing a piano.
Nice.
And you only play two or three notes, two notes presumably, at a time. But when she let that thing loose, it drew everybody from the far side of Lambertville. You could hear it through the valley.
Wow.
As it roared. And it was fascinating to watch the attendees of the show. They would all leave the automobiles and go up to see the little old lady playing the calliope and making so much noise. And so she'd do a set for 15 minutes and then she'd stop and let the steam cool off. And then they'd all filter back out and go look at the cars again until she cranked up another 15 minutes later.
Yeah, that's a great story.
It drew an extraordinary crowd, and it was great fun.
So that's the concert to have with the automobile
show.
That's safer concert.
And it runs both Saturday and Sunday. And
yes.
So they were great while they were here.
Anything else?
I'm about at the end of it. The show has greatly matured. You know, no longer do they just look at the engine. Now they look at the inside of the hubcaps. A tremendous amount of detail because the competition has become so great in the car show field. And there are dozens of car exhibits around the neighborhood. So I think we helped to start something interesting, but we run out of space. We do our thing. I'm not involved anymore. One of the interesting ironies to close with is that my nephew, John Layden, who was son of the commander who helped to start the show, John Layden is an aficionado of Model A Fords, and he won the most popular Best in Show in 12, and in 13, I think, maybe in 13, but then this past year he won only second best. Somebody more popular and more successful. But it's marvelous that it's come a generation later and the son of a founder is winning the prizes.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
So the show will, as far as I can tell, will go forever.
It's a very big deal in New Hope. It's a big success.
It is a big deal for the town. It's a big deal for the car people. They accumulate prizes. They have fun. They go see their buddies who have similar cars. The public loves to see automobiles, antique, historic.
Yep.
And so it has assumed a life of its own.
Okay. Well, thank you, Will. This is those of you who have listened to this can understand why Will is the preeminent historian of the area. And he has other things to talk to us about, but we'll get to those another day. And thank you for reviewing the car show with us.
Fun to do, and fun activity for New Hope.
Yes.